Reprush. May this year be Li'ulu Nishmas Naftali Yosef Ben Tzvi Menachem Halevi. May Hashem have an Aliyah. And may this year also be for the Li'ulu Nishama of Shmuel Ben Chaim Yehuda. Shmuel Ben Chaim Yehuda, a friend of mine of Yeshivas Chevron that died this past week. Yes, he was in a car accident. Terrible, terrible story. He was on a scooter, and a dog chased him.
He
sped up, and I just want to say. So he jumped to the street, and then the car hit him. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So maybe the Hizshah also have an Aliyah, and also the Havdil for the Refuah Shlema of Faiget Zipora Bat Hadassah. And Yitzchak ben Chaya and
Ariel ben Chaya.
B'zal Hashem, Shalom, Refuah to all those people. Okay. Sorry? No. Katzenbogen. Yeah, you saw it? Terrible. I'm terrible. I don't know. Katzenbogen is a very famous name in the Yeshiva Welt. Terrible, terrible story. Okay, so anyways, good evening, good evening. So, this following case is, of course, hypothetical, and I actually saw this, to begin with, in a book that was written by the uncle of my wife. This is the final source of the book called Avdi Mishpat, a person that had an event, and he ordered a caterer, and he asked it to have a very specific hechsher. This is something which is not so common here in Toronto, because there's only one hechsher, Baruch Hashem, for the good or for the bad, I don't know, but Baruch Hashem is only one hechsher. And as you have multiple hechsherim, multiple badatsim, great hechsherim, you have badats this, badats that. The joke is that once a person came, he asked, what is the hechsher of this place? We have all the hechsherim. We have six hechsherim. We have this badatz, and this badatz, and this badatz, and this badatz. So he said, I have six hechsherim, but you have five reasons for me why not to eat here. Meaning that he has his own hechsher that he wants, but the rest of them, I'm not eating that hechsher in the world. So that's the joke. So that's a person who wanted to have a specific hechsher for his event. And the event took place. The couple got married, or there was a bris, I don't know. And then at the end of the event, he happened to find out that, oy geval, this was not the hechsher that he wanted. He wanted hechsher A, and then what he got in the end was a regular hechsher called hechsher B. That wasn't known to be as good as the hechsher A. So now he says to the person, listen, I don't think I need to pay you for this meal, although all the guests came and they enjoyed it very, very much. But you know why they enjoyed it very much? Because they never had this thing in their life. They would never on earth eat from this hechsher, and that's why they were so happy. But now that I see this is his hechsher, I don't want to pay you. Is he right? Or maybe the person who gave him the food would say to him, listen, you're right, it's a mistake. And chatati viti pashati, and before Yom Kippur, I'll call you and maybe the guests and tell them I'm sorry for giving you these things. However, you wanted food. They got food. The guests were happy. They're happy with what they ate. So in that case, why should I give you the money back? I'm a caterer. Okay, so I have now this cheshba between me and the Kodesh Baruch Hu for giving you maybe something which was bad. But now everyone are happy. They ate. They're full. I don't need to pay you back anything. Sorry? No, by mistake. By mistake. It was an honest mistake. He, before I had a different event, that they actually like Hechsher B, not Hechsher A. So he got mixed up, he gave Hechsher B, Hechsher A, Hechsher A, Hechsher B, and that's what happened. So does he need to pay him back or not? What do you think? What? Oh, that's a very, very important aspect. You're right. So let's say he didn't pay him, or let's say he did pay him. He paid him in advance. He gave him a check.
I can tell you now he ain't getting it back.
What? that's the Metzius. You're right.
At least
a deposit. Usually, yeah. Usually he gets like a check in advance. Yeah, that's right. But let's say, you know what? Let's say he didn't pay him. Now it comes to the Beis Din. So listen, I paid for a certain thing. I didn't get it. But listen, you enjoyed. All the guys had a great meal. Hezek she'eno nikar. That is in the field of nezakim. But you're actually questioning, do we even say that there is a mekachtos regarding halachic issues? There is a mekachtos that wanted a red car and got a black car. That's something that I could see. But let's say something which is halachically, which is spiritual, maybe there's no mekachtos. So let's say I gave him, instead of not a different hechsher, I gave him pork. I gave him something which is entirely not kosher. Okay. So you say the same thing regarding also an Isser Deraisa. I gave him something which is absolutely terrible. Okay, that's what you're saying. Okay, yeah, no, it's okay. Everything is accepted. No, we'll see that. Then maybe we'll maybe there will be a difference between an Isser Deraisa and Isser Derabanan.
Wouldn't he have to prove that the stuff wasn't kosher?
Forget about it. I wanted something. You have in your menu, I could provide you the meat of Badatz A, I could provide the meat of Badatz B, and you selected Badatz A and you got B. For some reason on earth, you say, this is no good. I don't rely on this rabbi. I know his children. I know his wife. I know how they behave. I know how I saw him on vacation last Pesach.
Whoever has the money, that's where the money is going to stay.
That's what you're going to say. Okay, could be. Wait, entirely? Practical. Entirely?
I'm saying
wait, does he need to pay him at least
the
value?
The reasonable answer is he should pay him something for what he did. Should he give him, he wanted the dots and he only got the 80 on Raiders.
He wanted the Davka Rabbanut. What are you talking about? I want to support the Rabbanut, and you give me this Badatz. I'm not going to pay for this Badatz ever.
Yeah.
But let's say, but you know what? It was on purpose. I wanted to prove you that nothing will happen if you eat Rabbanut. I want to prove this to you. And then he ate it. Okay, that's it. He's full. What could he say? Okay, I fooled you. Okay, I'll go to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur. I'll say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please forgive me for giving him this thing. What? That's regarding a suffix. The question is, do we have your suffix or not?
What about the guests?
The non-Jew comes to a Jew and says, I want to buy kosher meat. You're obligated to sell the kosher meat.
Wait. Who says? I mean, you're right. I'm supposed to do so. But let's say I didn't do it. So now, does he have a tviya against me? Does he have a claim against me?
You specify the delivery of something that was agreed to, and you failed to deliver.
Yeah. Wait. But after he ate it, if before he ate it, that's one thing. Again, sorry, I didn't understand.
It could be that the non-Jew is buying from the Jew to sell it to a Jew, or to give it to a Jew.
A person should not buy from a non-Jew kosher food. I mean,
you're sending your claim away, your
basket. Okay, so I assume that's common. So you're saying that. Okay. Fine. But why should it matter? Why should it matter? I mean, again, if it's to begin with, let's say that in the middle of the event, before I start eating, I see, wait a second, these boxes are, but that's B, and I want to, but that's A. I think that's for sure a claim, or maybe not, but that should be a claim. Let's say we agreed on something else. But after we ate from it, and regarding the guests, so
someone may go underline his hat under his bundle, so it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Wait. So they should now have a tviya as well.
No, he has to. Maybe he should.
Of course he is. No, of course he. Of course he's suing this caterer because he was machshel all of his guests. Let's see. Sorry. So in Israel, usually you don't. Actually, you can. You go to Mishgiach, you ask him, what is served here? And he will say to you, what is served here? And then you would eat or not eat. Right, you could. But let's say, so the person ordered, and he told everyone, don't worry, Yochlu Anavim Yisbal, everything will be great. And it turned out to be great. Or at least as he expected it to be. Another hypothetical question. Ma? Well, she says he should pay him, but less. I think that's the best answer. It's a very good answer. It's a very good answer. It is. Let's say a different hypothetical question. There is in Yerushalayim a great bakery that people go there to buy their parv cheesecake. They have a parv cheesecake and people love buying their parv cheesecake. It's a shtick. You have a whole meal and you have the parv cheesecake for dessert. Person came there, bought the parv cheesecake, and then he comes back. He has it for dessert. And then he said to him, what are you talking about? This is not the parv cheesecake. What? And then he goes back to the store and he finds out, oish, there was a mix. And they put the cheesecake into the parv cheesecake, and they put the parv in the cheese, and there's a big mix. And by accident, they ate the cheesecake, and then have a fleishik meal. So now, listen to the story. You guys made a mistake. You guys put it in the wrong boxes. Maybe you should pay me back. Same thing. It's 100% kosher.
If someone could have got sick.
What? Sick? Why sick? Ah, that's terrible. That's right. That's right. I mean, if something is like written to be not free and it's not free, yeah, that's that is clearly a mazik. That's truly it. That's for sure mazik. Yeah.
I'm assuming there wasn't an hour delay.
Yeah. So is that a minhag? Is that a derabanan? Is that a problem?
Was it chicken? Was it beef?
What did you eat? It's a good time, what you're saying.
It depends on... זה לא בדיוק כמו מה שקרה שם. כי הרי זה כשר.
Moshe has a very good taina. He says, what you're now buying is kosher. I said, yeah, you do want something kosher, you got something kosher. Okay, there was a mistake, whether it's milk, it's not milk, but this product is kosher, as opposed...
לא, אני מדבר על משהו אחר.
I didn't say that.
אמרתי שבזה שהוא הזמין בברית, זה היה כשר. אתה פשוט לא אוכל. זה היה כשר.
פה...
רק לא למהדרין, אבל פה זה...
Because so you're saying this case is worse because you're going to eat the lakala deus will be a problem. Okay. So let's see all of these things. Let's see how this goes. Okay, so a bit of an introduction regarding the halachas of Oino. The Rambam says in Hilchos Mechir, Perek Tzvav Alachavav, Kol lokeach stam, eino lokeach el hadavar hashalem yikol mum. When a person buys something, he wants to have something which is shalem, which is complete, without any mum, without any blemishes, without any problems. That's what he wants. And because of that, if there's something which has a mum, which has some kind of problem, so in that case, you can say, Mekach tos, take this product back, I want my money back. So he wanted a car, and the car was broken, he wanted a chair, and the chair was broken, it has a mum, an objective mum, he can ask for his money back. How do we define a mum? The Rambam says in the following halacha, in Perek Tzav Halacha Hey, actually it was a previous halacha, but I just brought it in a different order. So he says that it goes according to Minhag Medina. Kol shiskimu alav bnei Medina shehu mum, shemachzir bo mekach, ze machzirim. וכל שיסכימו עליו שאינו מום, הרי זה לא מחזיר בו, אלא אם פרש, שכל הנושא ונותן סתם, המנהג המדינה הוא סומך. How do we define a mum? Sometimes you have an objective mum. I wanted a car and it has only three wheels. I wanted a table and there's no table. I mean, that is an objective, clear mum, obviously. But sometimes there are things which are not so clear. How do we define it? According to Minhag Medina, according to the common practice of that certain place, wherever it is. Because of that halacha, in the book Shimurush Mishpat, Dayan Rabbi Shlomo Zafrani, a great Dayan in Yerushalayim, who lives in Harnov, so he says that person which is a frum, a person, he's Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and he wants to buy a suit, and he goes to Tel Aviv. And in Tel Aviv, unfortunately, there are certain areas which are less observant, and he buys a nice, beautiful suit, a high-quality suit, and then he takes it to the Shatnez guy. After a few weeks, it was lazy to take it immediately. And then the Shatnez said, listen, this thing is 100% Shatnez. I can't even take it out. This is 100%. This, if I'll take out either the wool or the linen, this thing will be absolutely useless. So he goes back to the source saying, listen, I bought for you something that I just cannot wear. The halacha is, what can you do? Minhag Medina, says Rav Zafrani, you cannot demand the place to take this suit back or demand your money back because... Listen, maybe in Bnei Brak you're right, maybe in Yerushalayim you're right, another place in Israel, but in Tel Aviv, this certain area, yeah, people coming that are not observant, are not makpid on Shatnez. This is Minhag Medina, because of that you cannot claim Mekachtos. Very surprising, Alacha. Sorry? No, he could have business with them. You could buy suits in Toronto, but just don't expect these suits to be 100% kosher. Have in mind that this could be a mum in the Mekach. This could happen. And when you go there, you're aware that this might happen to you. And he didn't ask, apparently. So that, he didn't ask. He didn't feel that he has to tell him. Buyer beware? Yeah. I assume so. If he said, is it Shatnez? You should tell whether this is Shatnez. Is this brand? You should tell the truth. Yes, this is this brand. I mean, you should tell the truth. So because of all these things, this is not Minhag Medina. So in that case, you're stuck with the Shatnez suit. Maybe sell to some other person, and you're stuck. Okay, what about kashrus? Halachic things, as people see it as. We know that there are objective blemishes, objective things which are considered to be mum. What about things regarding kashrus? So I'll just skip entirely just to the Shulchan Aruch, his halach lemaisa. He brings down the Gemara Chulin and the Ran, and the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 6, Hamocher beimale chaviru letovcha. A person says, I want to buy a cow for shchita. Yeah, this is the purpose of me buying the cow. Veshchata v'nimtzei trefa. And he shechted it. And this actually happened to be his animal. Is a trefa. Im noda bevadai shata trefa kshelekacha. Kegon. He gives an example. How do we know for sure that when I bought it, this was not kosher at the time? It was treif at the time. You have here some kind of raya. I won't get into it. But if you bought it and you know that this is treif, sorry, and it was, and it's obvious this was treif when you bought it. So in that case, have a mekach ta'ut v'tzarich lachzir hadamim. If you know very well this thing happened to be not kosher, and you want to send the kosher, you can do mekach ta'us. You bought certain cookies, thinking that these are Oreo cookies with an hechsher, and then you come home, no, they had no hechsher, and you went actually to the store, saying, listen, is this the kosher Oreos? Yes, of course, these are the kosher Oreos. You don't see any OU on it, you don't see any, but that's Westheim on it, that's usually the hechsher on the OU, on the Oreos, and then you come back, so in that case, you get a refund, you could say, mekachtos, because when you have an halachic problem, also halacha is considered to be a mekachtos, not only physical things, also ruchni things. What you said was hezek shenikar. That's in the field of nizikin, of damaging. Says the Rama, it's not only when something is completely not kosher. It also, he says, ve'afilu trefa she'anu osrim mesafek. Like you have here some kind of safek, and because of that, we beware. Mevatel amekach ve'ena mocher chol amar tavi raya shetrefa havi. That since this is a safek, that the halacha is that we keep away from this safek. So because of that, listen, I don't want to have sfeikis in my life. This is a safek, an objective safek. I don't want this. That's already enough also to claim for mekach tos. So according to Shulchan Aruch, according to Rama, when you have something which is clearly not kosher and you bought it with clear intention for it to be kosher, you can say, listen, I want it in the kosher. It's not kosher. Mekach tos. Give me my money back. And indeed, you'll get your money back. Yeah. Before you ate. We're talking now before you ate. Very good. So let's say I'm a person who was having an event. I ordered food. And then before the event, I find out the food is not kosher. Excuse me. Give me my money back. Even if you paid, your money gets back because this is not kosher. Make a toast entirely. What happens? What? Because it depends on a minag medina. So you're right. I mean, maybe in certain cases, if me, a frum guy, go to some goy and he sells it to me, and so in that case, so you're right. Minag medina. Why should he give me kosher food? But if I'm a frum guy and I'm going to a frum guy, so I think the minag medina, at least in our community, will rule that yes, I'm expected to get something kosher, and because of that, I should have a refund. No. You go to a kosher hechsher, a caterer, and you don't specify, I want something kosher. Isn't it obvious he's supposed to give you, a frum guy, something kosher?
To transgress on the same side that's related to.
So if you're going to Tel Aviv, where no one there even heard of Shadnas, the seller is no. He doesn't know what Shadnas is. He doesn't know what Shadnas is. He knows what linen is, what cotton is. He doesn't know what these things are. He has no idea. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it could be that, I don't know, maybe Tel Aviv is an exaggeration, but somewhere where it is obvious that there's no clear minag. It could be, you're right, unfortunately, I don't know. Okay, so anyway, when something is not kosher, or is something not kosher, you could ask and demand for a refund. What happens when it's a chumrah? This thing, if you ask the rabbi, he'll say kosher. However, there are certain poskim who say like this, but the main majority of poskim say this is kosher. It's 100% okay. So what happens if the buyer says, "Listen, I am a guy who is not only from, I am also very machmir, and I'm makpit to have all the best chumras." Can they now say, "Sorry"? Let's say. Because this might be a political question, whether it's Rabbanut kosher, and the Mahadri is something above, or is it not kosher at all? Okay, but let's say, yes, a person says, you know what, it's not good for me, I want something which is the best. Okay? So Pri Megadim says in source number 7, he says, Im halacha demutar. If the halacha is, that this is okay. Lo matzi lemeimar halokeach, hoil v'yesh da lachmir, and I want to lachmir. Kivan da halacha kedea demutar. If the halacha is, there's a clear halacha, this thing is kosher. Excuse me, I want something which is mehadrim, which is better. No. The halacha is, this is okay. Don't be machmir and hold of all kind of das yachid. No, this is not considered to be a mekavtos. So maybe, for example, a person says, but can I have kosher food? He gets the basic kosher. No, I want this extra. Excuse me, no. You cannot now ask for it. This is kosher. Don't ask for any chumras. This is kosher. That's Pri Megadim. In Shut Chaim Sha'al, the Chida says that there was in Egypt a certain type of fabric which is called makatis, and in Egypt they thought that the chatchila they should be concerned that this might be considered to be kilayim, this makatis thing. So only the chatchila, but the evidence it's fine. But the chatchila, beware. Don't come near this makatis fabric. And so he says, if a person bought this fabric, and it turned out to be makatis, she says, excuse me, no, I don't want this. He says, she's in the kramum. So although the halach is that the chatchila, this thing, I mean, b'diavad, this thing is fine. But there are certain books, they say this is makatis. You should beware, you should be machmir, says Chaim Sha'al. I could actually claim, no, I hold, according to this rabbi, Sefer Perech Shushan, that this is the Chatchila, should not be okay, I don't want it. So according to the Chida, you see that even with Chumras, a person could say, I'm not interested. Allegedly, according to the Chida, a person says, wait a second, you gave me only this kosher? Right, I wanted kosher, but I expect to have something which is much more serious. So in that case, according to the Chida, he could actually cancel the entire transaction and simi kachtos. So again, according to Pri Megadim, a chumra is not a good reason to simi kachtos, and according to the chida, it is a good reason to have a simi kachtos. The post can try to bring some kind of, to bridge these two opinions, the Shut Beit Shlomo. So he says that, you know what? They're both right, but just in different circumstances. He says, "Hainu bistam anashim." Regular people, a regular Jew, not known to be a great tzaddik, a great chassid, a great person who's a big frumer, a big machmir. So if he got something which is actually kosher, then he says, no, I'm actually machmir like this opinion. Excuse me, this is kosher, this is good for you. Don't start to be a tzaddik on the expense of others. This is kosher. So hainu bistam anashim, in that case, Pri Megadim is right. That you cannot claim to make a toast because you're a big machmir. However, a person who's getting this piece of clothing, when you have this great tzaddik, this great Rebbe, he's coming in front of you and telling you, I want to have this thing, so you should know, good evening, you should know this person wants the real deal. He wants the best things, he wants the most kosher thing, so in that case, for him, it could be. So Lemaise Beis Shlomo says, it depends, who is the buyer? If the buyer is a person who comes, this is to be the greatest tzaddik in the world, give him a kosher, and he cannot say, no, this is not kosher enough for me. But if you see this guy with a big tzaddik, and he's known and famous to be a big tzaddik, or you know what? Maybe he even asks specifically, I want to have this because I'm a tzaddik. So in that case, maybe he actually could demand a bitul mekach. That is according to Shut Beit Shlomo. The Mishpat Shalom, Marashan Barjan, this is Abshon Shadron, the old one, and he gives another way to maybe bridge between the Pri Megadim and the Chaim Sha'al, and he says the Pri Megadim and Chaim Sha'al, the Chida, are discussing two different things entirely. The Pri Megadim says the halacha is it is okay. The person says I want to be machmir like this opinion, but the halacha is clearly it is okay. In that case, the person cannot be machmir, cannot demand I don't want this. However, in the case of the Chaim Sha'al, what does he say? That there in the case there of this fabric of kilayim, so the halacha was, lechatchila, don't come near it. That was the halacha according to the book Sefer Perach Shushan. So when the halacha is that lechatchila, don't come near this, only b'diavad you could benefit from it. So in that case, that's a different thing. When you want to hold it from, like a certain das yachid. You cannot say, no, mekhtos, I can't rely on this because I want to rely on this certain das yachid. In that case, it's not mekhtos. But the halacha is, the chatchila don't come near this thing. Oh, that's actually a good reason to say that you don't want this. So maybe according to him, if something was just, he asked for something kosher. And now he gets a hechsher, and the rabbis say, no, lechatchila, don't have it. But if you're stuck in no man's land, so in that case, maybe you could actually eat from it. So in that case, he would say, yes, this is a mekartos, because you wanted something that you could write, rely on it, lechatchila. So again, if a person got something which is not kosher entirely, mekartos, before he eats it, he says, I don't want it. So in that case, he's right. If you get something which is a safek, according to the Ramah, also mekartos, and in that case, he gets his money back. If he gets a chumra, we saw two opinions and two ways of bridging these two opinions. Let's see some examples regarding chumras. I will skip 11, 12, and 13 and go straight to source 14, Rav Avad Yosef. There is an halacha which is brought in Gemara Pesachim, and also is Paskin halacha in Yoredei Kuf Zayin Sif Hei, and that is, I don't know if people know this, but you should not eat food that was under your bed. You should not eat food. If you slept there the entire night, don't eat from the food there. It actually happens to me since I came to Toronto, so I'm addicted to bottles, to small bottles. In Israel, I used to have a minibar. But here, the bottles are so cheap. In Costco, like $40 and $2. So I just drink these bottles. Sometimes I leave beside my bed, and sometimes it falls under my bed. I'm not allowed to drink from it anymore because this was food under the bed when a person slept. Everything. Yeah, I think it was the water. I think so. No, but it's closed. The food, yeah, exactly. The food. So the food here is also when it's closed. The halacha is these food also when it's closed and also when it's wrapped. I saw that the halacha might say, let's say in a camp, kids have a suitcase, put it under their bed. It's packed with food. They should not do that. They should not do that. Yeah, that's what I saw in the website of Kosharot. They should not do that. Sorry? It's ruach ra'a. No, so put it in the closet, but then all the rumors will steal it. I don't know, the closet. Sorry? Minak Tel Aviv. I don't know. It's Shulchan Aruch Kuf Design. L'chatchila, you should not do that. But d'yeved, that's a question. Actually, I also saw a question. If there's a baby carriage, and under the baby carriage, puts their groceries. So the post can say that's not considered to be a bed. It's a baby carriage. Although the baby is sleeping there most of the time, it's not considered to be a place where you should be choshesh of this ruach. Anyway. So Rav Yosef says that a person, by accident, left food under, a person, he has a makolet, he has a small shop, and by accident he left food under his bed, now he wants to sell it, and now b'dieved, if a person did leave it, there's a question, b'dieved, after he left it, should he eat from it? A big machlokas, some say yes, some say no, you don't know what to do. So, and now he starts selling this food, and then the word somehow came out that these were food which were under the bed of the person with the grocery store. Okay, I don't know how that story came out. He talked too much, but the story came out. So Rav Avad Yosef deals with this. He says, "Is this a good reason for bitul mekach or not?" He says, according to the Ran and the Ramah, that in the case of a safek, you could demand bitul mekach, you could ask your money back. So here, I know there's a big machlokas among the poskim, whether it's okay or not okay. So in that case, he says that there's a big machlokas, it's a safek, you could demand it. But then he says, but look, if you learn the sugya, you'll see that according to many, many poskim, it is okay. It is okay because when the Ramah says that in the case of a suffik, you could demand your money back, that is in the case when there is a suffik. So the halacha is, suffik deraisa lichumra, don't eat it. Or suffik like this, so don't touch it. So only in that kind of suffik, when the suffik demands you to stay away from it. But when you have reason to say it's okay, or reason to say it's not okay, so you can always rely on the poskim who say it is okay. So in that case, it's considered to be kosher, and it's fine. It's considered to be kosher and it's fine, and because of that, he says, he cannot demand their money back in this case. That's what he says. So again, the kind of suffik you could ask your money back is when the suffik rules suffik l'chumra. But here, there's no Sefik L'chumra. You have poskim who say it's fine. Okay, poskim say it's fine, but the Eved. So in that case, rely on those poskim in this case. And in that case, you won't get your money back. That is according to Rav Yosef. In the pamphlet, Alona Mishpat, of Rav Yosef Fleischman. I think you know him, right? Rav Yosef Fleischman. So he has a whole pamphlet coming out once a week about Choshen Mishpat topics. Very, very recommended. It's kind of a difficult read usually, but it's very, very good. And he thinks different than Rav Avad Yosef. He says that it's very nice that Rav Yosef brought many, many opinions that say that B'dieved, it is okay. However, there are many opinions who think differently. So he says that this thing doesn't have a clear answer. And since this doesn't have a clear answer, it still is considered to be a suffix that people would not want to come near this thing because it's a suffix. And he says, clearly, if I would know that there's a question regarding this bread I bought from you, so of course I would prefer to go to a different place, buying the same kind of bread with the same price, with no questions at all. So he says, this is enough of a reason to say, it is a mekachtos. So again, a person bought something, it's a machlok, it's a poskim, whether it's kosher or not kosher. So Rav Avad Yosef says, you can actually say it's a mekachtos, and all the mishpah says, I don't understand Rav Avad Yosef, I think l'chatchila, you should not come near this, and because of that, it is a mekachtos. Okay, another example which is brought in the writings of Moshe Sturmbach, that there was a sofer that he wrote Tefillin, he wrote the parashas of Tefillin, and he had a question. He had a question about something that he wrote. He went to the Rav saw it. Okay, it's fine. But yeah, but it's kosher. Yeah, it's kosher. Should he now start saying to everyone, listen, these are tefillin that I asked this rabbi, and he said it's kosher with the Eved. Does he need to say it? Or you know what? The rabbi said it's kosher. I'll sell it without telling anyone anything. What should he do, this person? Right? He wrote tefillin, he had a question, asked the rabbi. Rabbi said, kosher. So now she always tells everyone, listen, these parashos, kosher? Says Shivas Van Hogos. He says that if you're selling it in the regular price in the market, and you're selling it this as kosher, fine. So in that case, don't tell anything. But if you're famous, you're known to be the sofer, everything that comes out of your hand is the best tefillin, the best parshios ever, and come all the way from all around the world to come to buy for you parshios, and they expect to have something which is mehudar, so even though they didn't ask for it, but they came to you because you're famous of it, in that case, you have to tell them. Because when the rabbi says something is b'dieved, it's not mehudar. And they come to you expecting to have the best quality tefillin. He adds another thing, if the person says explicitly, I want to have mehudar tefillin, I want to have mehadrim parshios, and you give him only this. So this is like the case of the Beis Shlomo, saying when a person says clearly, I want something which is mehadrin, he's famous to be a person who wants something which is mehadrin. So in that case, if you give him only kosher tefillin, it's not good. You have to give him mehadrin tefillin, and these parshios are no good. That is another example of Moshe Sturmbach. So again, when a person asks something to be mehadrin, and he did not get the mehadrin before he enjoyed it, obviously this is a mekachtos. He could say, I'm not interested. Okay. So until now, we dealt with types of kashrus before you benefit from it, before you enjoyed it, and you said, I don't want this because I'm a machmir or this or that. In certain cases, it is mekachtos. But what happens if or when he eats it? What happens then? So this is actually a Mishnah, Gemara, and Becheirois, and I didn't even bring it to the source sheet. I just brought the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Source 17. Choshen Mishpat, Source 17. Reish Lemedaled. In Seif Aleph, he says, Hashochet et HaBechor. Person shechted a firstborn when it was allowed. V'noda shelo er'au l'mumche. And he didn't actually ask. He shechted it, knowing this has a mum, and because it has a mum, it will be kosher for other people to eat it. But he didn't show it to the mumche. He actually didn't get any rabbinic confirmation that this is actually kosher. So a person bought it, ate the bechor. Ma she'achal achal, ve'yachzir lo tadamim. What? No, because in the case of bechor, you have to have especially a mumche to say that this mum is fine. Yeah, it doesn't say it's a mumche, right? So he ate something which is not kosher. He paid for it. After he finished his meal, what? It wasn't kosher. Give me my money back. He gets his money back. person was planning to eat something kosher, it turned out not to be kosher, so in that case, he gets the money back. Same thing, וכן השוחט פרה, ומחרה, ונודע שיתרפה, מה שאכלו אכלו, ויחזיר להם אדמים. A person ate something which is not kosher entirely, he got the meat, was actually the non-kosher meat, he gets his money back. However, אבל המוכר לחברו דבר שאיסור אכילתו מדברי סופרים. A person got accidentally something which is an only Esoder Abanan. It was a schnitzel cheeseburger, right? It was chicken with meat, with milk. That is only an Esoder Abanan, right? Because the rice is only beef, meat with milk. He got a schnitzel cheeseburger by accident. He got an Esoder Abanan. So he says, if he has it, just get it back and get your money back. ואם החלם, אכל, ואין המוכר מחזיר לו כלום. But if you ate something which is a derabanan, and you say, listen, I was expected to eat kosher, and I got an isser derabanan, he doesn't have to pay him back at all. Before we see why, that'll be the sma in source 19, the stipler in source 18, he just asks a nice question. He says, we see that an isser deraisa, claiming an isser deraisa is a mekachtos. Claiming an isser derabanan is also a mekachtos, as we see here. So why is it, if someone marries a woman, and then he finds out that she actually didn't tell him that she was an Isser Derabanan on him. She was an Isser Derabanan, or an Isser Lav, that according to Yevamis, Isser Lavim, Kiddushin Tofsim Chavei Lavim, they are actually married, although there was this Isser Lav in the background. Why can't they say Mekartos? Why don't we say Mekartos? In that case, the marriage should be dissolved. So it says the stipler, something I think it's a very important muster for life, or it's obvious that your wife is not a piece of meat. That the piece of meat, you want to have meat. I don't really care if it's that piece or that piece. I just want to have a piece of meat and that's it. But your wife, kashim zivugim Yisrael kikas yam, so finding the right woman exactly for you, that you wanted, is not easy. It's hard to find. So because of that, even though you have all kind of isurim, isurlavim, that's not enough to break and dissolve the marriage. That's what he says. But regarding meat, even the slightest Isser Derabanan, the transaction is out because I don't need this particular steak, I can have a different piece of steak. Okay, that is the stipler. Anyway, but we saw according to the Shulchan Aruch, if a person accidentally ate a Deoraisa violation, he gets his money back. If he eats a Derabanan violation, he does not get his money back. Why? What is the difference? Says the Sma in Source 19. דבר שיסור מדברי סופרים. דווקא במכשול דיסור דאורייתא כנסוהו. Why is it that the person has to pay the money back because he fed him דאורייסא, biblical prohibitions? Why? Because it's a קנס. We fine him, he gets a knas, you gave someone an deraisa, you deserve punishment. So although he's not bringing you the meat back, you should pay him back. That's reason number one. But reason number two, says the Sma, ve'od, de'en achilat ha'ochel mechshav lo hana'a. This is not regarding the person who sold it to him. The person who bought it, he didn't enjoy this meat. He had his treif meat, he had his pork. No, he did not enjoy it. Although at the time he was like happy, his eating was delicious. But no, once he found out, what are you talking about? This is a deraisa. Oh my goodness, this is a terrible, terrible issur. He said to him, because of that, I didn't enjoy one bit. I paid you a certain amount of money. Give me my money back because I did not enjoy at all. Right? No, I did not enjoy at all. But if you had only the Rabbanan, you had a schnitzel cheeseburger, so in that case, you know what? You did enjoy it. Sorry? Yeah, but now he actually, retrospectively, says, no, I every single bite that I had, I regret it, it was terrible, and If it was a... Sorry, the... What is that called? I don't speak Yiddish. Turkish to me. Okay. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's eating him alive. He's not enjoying this thing. What? Oh, so actually I saw someone asking, let's say you got an Isser Deraisa. But all your guests, you're a Baal Tshuva, all your guests are Chilavim. Chilavim from the kibbutz, they eat these things for breakfast on Yom Kippur. So in that case, of course they enjoyed it. So in that case, maybe he should not pay his money back. No, back, no. I feel bad for being machshu other people. That's a smart that I saw. That's a person that said, I want kosher food. For my entire family, who are all chilonim, eat these terrible things on a daily basis. But he got non-kosher food. He will get his money back, because he said, I did not get my money's worth because I feel bad for being machshu other people. That's what I saw at a certain contemporary rabbi who discussed it. But anyway, we have here two reasons why this is okay. Before I proceed, so that back to the cheesecake. So it doesn't matter, because waiting between meat and milchik, it's maybe a derabanan, maybe even less, because according to Pshat Sugya with the Rama and the Tosfot there, if you're already benched, you're allowed to eat immediately according to certain. For your next meal. So now it's the same meal. So I think it's at most an Isser Derabanan. It's an Isser Derabanan.
You're saying dessert is the next meal.
What?
It means if you have a cheesecake at the end of your meal, you make desserts.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. But let's say it's the same meal. So what is it at most? It's a Derabanan. So since at most it is a Derabanan, so in that case, you won't get your money back. If it's a different meal, it's less than a derabanan. If it isn't the same meal, it's only derabanan because you didn't cook it together. If a person eats a cold meat and a piece of cold cheese together, it's also derabanan. It has to be only cooked together. So here, of course, it will be a derabanan. So in that case, he'll go back to the bakery, give him my money back. He won't get his money back because you already enjoyed it. That will be, however, I thought to myself, maybe enough nafkamina between the opinions of the Sma, the explanations of the Sma. Let's say this guy was a complete moron. For some reason, he took the alleged cheesecake, said, listen, everybody, this is so amazing, this part of cheesecake. He took a piece of hot meat, put it on the cheesecake, and ate it together. So he did an Isser D'oraisa. So in that case, can he get his money back? So I think this might be enough nafkamina between the reasons of the Sma. According to the first reason, that you deserve to get to pay a fine because you sold an Isser, it's not an Isser. You sold cheesecake. It's something which is actually kosher. So in that case, you did not sell an Isser. However, the other person did not benefit from it because he had an Isser D'oraisa. So in that case, maybe he can ask his money back. Maybe, I don't know. This is not very common. Usually, he'll eat it in the end of the meal. In that case, he cannot ask for his money back because it's only an Isser D'oraisa. Now, there's a very fundamental nesivus. This might be the famous nesivus. This, for me at least, this is the first nesivus that I learned in my life. Nesivus in Source 21. And the nesivus asks, okay, the Sma explains, why is it that in the case of D'oraisa, if you ate a D'oraisa, you get your money back, and D'rabbanan not? Because the second reason they give, that when you had a D'oraisa, you actually did not benefit from it. You did not enjoy it. It was disgusting. It was an Isser D'oraisa. And you feel bad for eating this thing. Wait a second. If you eat an Isser D'rabbanan, you don't feel bad? You enjoy this Isser D'rabbanan? You enjoy violating D'rabbanan? No, of course not. You're a big tzaddik. You want to do exactly what the rabbis are telling you. So because it's only D'rabbanan, you actually benefit from it? How could this possibly be? I mean, it means that the Chorah, you did not enjoy even an Isser D'rabbanan. That's what the Nesivus is claiming. So he says, yeah, he actually is asking a different question, which we might get into, but the Siva says that there's a fundamental difference between the Isser D'oraisa and Isser D'rabbanan. He says, when a person accidentally does an Isser D'oraisa, he has to have kapara. He has to do tshuva. When a person does it by accident, b'shogeg, an Isser D'oraisa, he needs kapara. He needs repentance, he needs atonement. But if a person accidentally does an Isser D'rabbanan, says the Nesivus, he does not need kapara. Because Baruch Hu says, D'rabbanan, by accident, it's gefelach. I don't mind. So in that case, he enjoyed the food. He had his schnitzel cheeseburger. Great. It was by accident. I was aware of it. Because Baruch Hu was upset with me. So it's fine. According to the Nesivus, if you by accident had an Isser D'rabbanan, you don't need any atonement. Why? What is the rationale behind it? What is the idea behind this thing? So this is a famous Us Vin Deoraisa, in source 22, explaining this Nesibus. Why is it that in the case a person by accident had in Isser Derabanan, he actually does not need any kapara? So he says a fundamental difference between biblical prohibitions to rabbinical prohibitions. And this is a very, very important lumdus. Says the Asman Deoraisa, Rabbi Yosef Engel, he says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you shall eat this particular thing, this thing became poison. This came in Isser Chefza. This object is not allowed. It's an Isser Chefza. It is as if it is poison. It's spiritual poison. A person by accident ate poison. By accident, the poison will affect you. Because this is poison. The Chefza, the object itself, is poison. So because of that, even if it was by accident, you consume poison. So what can you do? So because of that, if a person did by accident consumed an Isser Deoraisa, he actually eats kapara, because he has this spiritual poison inside of him. He has to say, Achatan Avdil Pashanu, in order to take this thing out of his body. That is an Isser Deoraisa. But Isser Derabanan, rabbinical prohibitions, says the Asvin Deoraisa, the rabbis don't have the power to turn a schnitzel cheeseburger into an Isser Chefza. What could they possibly do? They can only tell you, the Gavra, don't come near it. Don't listen to us. Don't come near this thing. They don't have the power to turn this chefza, this object, to be a chefza of an isser, an object in the nisser. What can they only do? Tell the gavra, don't come near this thing. So when would a person violate an isser jabaran in the kapara? When he says, rabbis, I don't care what you say, I'm not listening to you. Only then when he intentionally violates the words of the rabbis, only then he needs a kapara. But if by accident he ate an Isser Derabanan, so he didn't have any intention to violate the words of the rabbis, and he didn't consume any poison, any Isser Chefza. So in that case, why should he have a kapara? Since Isser Derabanan is not an Isser Chefza, he did it by accident, he didn't have any bad intentions, he didn't consume anything which is a chefza, an object of an Isser, because of that, he doesn't have to have any kapara. That is the explanation of the Asvin Deoraisa, according to the Nesivus. So it's a major, major Nesivus. If a person did an Isser Derabanan by accident, it doesn't need to do any kapara. If a person by accident turned on the bathroom light, most chances that that light today, according to many poskim, is only Derabanan, no kapara. Oh, by accident, fine. Don't even care about it. It's only Isser Derabanan. That is a... You don't need to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not anger you at all. Nothing. You're clean sheet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mean don't put it on the list on Yom Kippur of the Hashem Bagan. No problem at all, according to Nesivus. A major chiddush. What? A shoygeg is a derabana. A shoygeg. If you did it intentionally, if you're saying, rabbis, I don't care about you, no. You have to do tshuva for not listening to the rabbis. That is according to Nesivus. It's a major chiddush. Many poskim don't hold that way. Among those poskim is not less than the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura says clearly differently. Why? Because in source 23, the Ramah tells us that a person is allowed to extinguish a fire in certain circumstances. But if he, in the case of sakana, in the case of danger, but if he's extinguishing the fire only because of his money, he wants to save money, that is a violation of Shabbos, and he has to do tshuva. He has to do a tainis. He says here 40 days, sheni chamishi, don't drink wine, don't drink meat. A big, big process of tshuva. And says the Mishnah Brura, what is the Ramah talking about? He's talking about, he says, whether this is a deraisa, whether this is a derabanan, umayrik she'avar beshogeg. When this person did this avera derabanan by accident, all this kapara order that this sedal kapara that the Ramah tells you to do, fast this, do that, give tzedakah, all this, it happens when it was an isser derabanan beshogeg. So he says clearly, you have to have a long process of tshuva and kapara in the case of a violation of an isser derabanan bishogeg, clearly against the words of the Nesivus. That is the Mishnah Brura, and that is also the opinion I think of the majority of poskim. Because of that, says Minchas Osher, that he brings a terrible case that there was a rabbi b'dvar rav echad she'ekel b'ktamim yoter medai. That he was a very, very lenient in the field of Nida, especially in the field of Ksamim. Ksamim, as we all know, is the Derabanan. right? I think in the next year in Sichas Chaver, we're going to learn the Nida B'Zal Hashem. So Ksamim is only a violation of the Rabbanim. So that was one of, was very, very makel, and he used to give terrible, terrible answers to people, and people used to do terrible averis because of him. And this, and he said, and he said, since this person that came to ask a question regarding Ksamim got the wrong answer, so he says, you know what, don't sweat it. According to Sivis, it's a mistake, it's a shogeg, and Ksamim is a derabanan, so no kapara needed. Everything is fine. Everything's okay. So this rabbi was very lenient with Ksamim. He just says, if he got it wrong, no problem. No, he made a mistake. The rabbi made a mistake. Or the person asked him, made a mistake asking this rabbi instead of asking a better rabbi or more experienced. No, I'm not saying that. I don't know if the rabbi is a poshia, but the people who asked him also don't need any kapara. And also the rabbi himself, you know, he made a mistake. He got it in order to pass the test of the rabbanut, so he had to have 65. So he got 65 and a half, and then that's it. He passed the test. So 65% of his answers are right, 30% of his answers are wrong. Fine. For Danu to 70. What is that? For the Anut. So anyways, so says, Michal Sosher Boshe Weiss, nonsense. This is nonsense that the person here made mistakes with the Surin Darabanan, Divrei Netivo Mechudashim, Venirei Kar Shok Kedvarav, Vema Sheasa Oto Aish, Se Taut Gmura, Vezitimit Chacham Shelo Yigel Ora Vehora, Vehu Rachum Mechaper Avon Velo Yashchit. This person has to have clearly a kapara, because this person it made a mistake even with Derabanan. So again, so according to Rosh Weiss, Amish Amura, even in the case of a Derabanan, if it was the Shogeg, you still have to have a Kapara, and that would not be a good explanation why a person who accidentally ate Derabanan needs to pay it because he actually did benefit from it. I will provide a different answer, but again, back to our case. A person accidentally ate an Isser Derabanan. So we said, according to Shulchan Aruch, you cannot get your money back. You cannot get your money back. There is a machlokas, okay. How much do you need to pay to begin with? Do you need to pay him the full price of the Isser, Isser Derabana is 20 shekels, something which is kosher is 40 shekels. So do you need to pay him 20 shekels? Or you need to pay him 40 shekels? So there is actually three opinions in this case. Three opinions, and they're all brought in the Pisri Tshuva, in source 26. In Pisri Tshuva, he brings the Shara Mishpat, and he says, listen, you decided to pay him 40 shekels for a piece of meat. You ate the meat, although this was a different type of meat. You need to pay him 40 shekels. Not only after you paid him, it isn't to pay you back, you have to pay him 40 shekels. That is, according to Shara Mishpat. To begin with, pay him the money. You had it. You enjoyed it. Pay the full price as you guys decide between yourselves. That is according to Shara Mishpat. You have the second approach, the Pri Chodosh, and he says, no. The Shulchan Aruch is saying that if you ate the Isser Derabanan, so in that case, you cannot ask for all your money back. But you could ask, even if you paid him already, you could ask him, pay me at least the difference between a kosher and a non-kosher product. Pay me that at least. I wanted to have something which is actually valued 40 shekels because this is kosher, and you gave me something which is 20. I enjoyed only a 20 shekel product, give me the money back. So says Pri Chadash, even if you paid him in advance, he will give you back the difference between the kosher and the non-kosher. And you have something in between. Yad HaChatam Sofer. And he says, it depends if you paid already or not. If you didn't pay him yet, so give him only the value of the non-kosher money. Give him only 20 shekels. You asked for a 40 shekel product, you got a 20 shekel product, give him 20 shekels. But if you already ate it, sorry, if you already paid for it, he doesn't have to pay you back. He's in between. Like you said, it depends before or after. Yeah, I don't think there's a difference, because it doesn't have to be necessarily amazing. You got a different product. So even if it's the middleman, so he will go back to the person who sold to him. But still, you have the two guys. You have a problem. So let's say again. So a person bought something with intention for this to be kosher, and after and it happened to be not kosher. Only on a derabbanan level. So if he already paid him the money, so according to the majority of poskim, he will not get his money back. Both shara mishpat and chatam sofer. But if he didn't pay him the money yet, so according to the majority of poskim, he doesn't have to pay him the full amount of money. He can pay him only half price, only 20. That is a. What? I think because of the suffix. Because of the suffix, so. Listen, you enjoyed it. You don't have any complaint other than that. Listen, I know in my mind that actually is something else. But I think you're right. I mean, there is a difference. Yeah, I think you're right. But maybe because of the suffix. Anyways, so back to our question. So I saw this question in numerous books. The majority of the books say that if I came to a hall and we decided that I'm getting Hechsher A and you got me Hechsher B, and now all of us already ate from this delicious food, and only after the event I found out that the food is not kosher. So the majority of the poskim say, sorry.
Lower
hechsher. It cannot be more than an Isser Derabanan. It cannot be more than an Isser Derabanan. And because of that, so if you already paid him, you won't get anything back. Because according to Shara Mishpat, Chatam Sofer, you already paid for everything, you won't get your money back. But if you did not pay him yet, so you could say to him, listen, you gave me something else, so I can rely on the Pri Chadash and the Chatam Sofer, I'll just give you the price of the second Hechsher, the more cheaper Hechsher. But getting the money back entirely, you won't get the money back, you'll have to pay for it, at least the price. Sorry? I did not make up the case, or... I'll tell you what. I didn't have this case. This case did not come in front of me. In the book Avni Mishpat, which was written by Dayan Rabbi Mordechai Ralbag, who happens to be the uncle of my wife, he says in his book that this was a case that came in front of him in the Beis Din of Yerushalayim.
What did they do with it?
So actually, he gives some kind of chiluk. I didn't clearly understand the chiluk. And I texted him to get an answer. I didn't get the answer yet. But he says that in the case of different Hechsherim, he says that Shulchan Aruch is discussing something else entirely. Shulchan Aruch says, I want to have that page. Is the page kosher? He says to me, yes. I buy it, and then I see, hey, it's not, and after I eat it, I see it's not kosher. I wanted this product, I got this product, in that case, I don't get my money back. But in the case but he says, in the case of a caterer, he says, so you said, listen, I want a different product entirely. I wanted that product. That's the Hechsher of Rav, whatchamacallit? Rav Lando. And you gave me that product, the Hechsher of Rav Mehadrin and Mehadrin, which is absolutely worthless. So you actually gave me a different product entirely. I get my money back. But that is the Chiddush of the Avni Mishpat, the Chiddush that is brought there. That's what he paskins. So he says, if it was a different Hechsher, you get the money back entirely. And sorry. Not entirely. The difference. Exactly. It's a big Kiddush, because you already paid it, and you get money back. The majority of books that I saw that discuss this hypothetical question, I don't know if it happens to them, so they said, no, it's exactly this with your bottom, and if you paid it, you won't get your money back. So great. So nothing. So you enjoy it.
No, that's a different price.
No, the main.
No, but let's say you happen to get your connections, and he managed to give you the same price exactly. So in that case, nothing. You get nothing back. So again, just to summarize, just the luckiest that we need to remember. If a person got something which is not kosher, he can say, listen, I don't want this, give me my money back. Okay. But if he already ate the thing which is not kosher, if it's deraisa, he gets his money back, even after eating it. If it's derabanan, he won't get his money back. But if you didn't pay for it yet, maybe you can say, I'll just give you the money of the non-kosher, and that's it.
Shkoyach.